Romans chapter 1, open to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We have just one verse to drive deep into our hearts as we seek to know and have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Please stand with me as we read Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning and we rejoice that we have your word and so much more, Father. Together with your word, we have the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He lives in our lives. He opens our eyes. He convicts us that we would repent. He guides us that we would not be alone. He encourages us that we would not be afraid. Lord, we love you and we love the Scriptures. Help us, Father, to understand them today, to understand them to the point of conviction, transformation, changing the way that we have been living, being more committed and more in love with you, worshiping you and the Holy Spirit and Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Thank you for your love and for the word you have for us today. Amen. You may be seated. So a week ago, while we were on the coast, on the Oregon coast, we met some people that were just arriving from Idaho. And they were saying, we're coming here to escape the heat in Idaho. Of course, having been there before the heat had arrived, we didn't know what they were talking about. And we were enjoying 55-degree weather, 65-degree weather, at the most 68 sunny days with a cool breeze. Now we know what they were running from. And many of our own people have already gone because of that. And as we were driving, we noticed what is a big thing here in Idaho, and I'm sure on the West Coast, RVs everywhere. RVs towing Jeeps and surfboards and ATVs, and their whole lives were being towed. Please bring down the volume a little bit. Their whole lives were being towed behind them and stacked up in those RVs. But they brought their living space with them. They didn't have to look for a hotel, right? That's why you get an RV. You park it whatever you want, and that is your kingdom. Well, before we left, my plan was that we would not make any reservations. So we've been doing it. We allowed the Lord to make all the reservations of where we would stay, right? But a day before we left, I just took a gander to see what hotels, bed and breakfasts, and motels were up and down the coast. When I saw the prices, we about stayed home. And I said, we're in trouble. And I said, Lord, you need to guide me. You need to show me where to call and if there is any vacancy. And here's what I've seen. I've seen people choosing where they would stay. You got Motel 6, you got La Quinta, you got Super 8, you got Shiloh, and then you have the Hyatt. And then you have the RV parks. And people would choose where they would stay. Some are happy in the RVs. Some all they can afford, but even hotel Motel 6 is expensive on the coast. But some would prefer Motel 6 for their pricing rather than $400 at a Hyatt or Days Inn for that matter. Where do you stay? So people would choose based on their budget, their expectations, or their desires where they would stay. And you look at the people staying in the RVs compared to the people staying in the Hyatts, and you wonder, man, I'd rather have one rather than the other. In a way, it's the way we live our Christian lives. We all have access to the riches of heaven, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet many of us choose to live in an RV park. Some of us think we can only get enough from the Lord to live in a Motel 6, and we envy those that live at the Hyatt on the shores of the ocean. And we all hope for heaven, thinking that heaven will answer all of our questions, and it will. But why do we choose to live as beggars sometime? We look and maybe we envy. One thing that you do, you and I probably do, when we drive through the rich neighborhoods, we see the big houses and the pools and the tennis courts, and we say, ah, one day they'll all burn down. Well, yeah, what do you do with a Christian, the faithful Christian family that has that big mansion? They're happy here. They'll be blessed there. And we think that it's all in the material riches. How do we live our spiritual life when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit? We've walked together and understood that He's been present from before the creation of the universe, with the Father and the Son in perfect unity. We know that He's present here and now. He's present in the life of every single born-again believer. We understood that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force. He has a personality. He can be grieved. He rejoices, as we've seen Jesus rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. We've seen the Holy Spirit rejoice in the womb of Elizabeth and John the Baptist as they met with Mary. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He loves to communicate. He's a communicator. He's a good teacher. He's a leader that likes and takes pleasure in leading every step of your life. From the words you say to the clothes you wear, to the decisions you make in the morning or for a lifetime, the Holy Spirit is full of wisdom. And we've seen that the Holy Spirit was promised way back in the Old Testament. And they've been waiting, not knowing what for, not understanding what this is, this mystery of God living within man and women. And last week, we saw how the Lord Jesus is fully dependent. The prominence of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Everything He did, everything He spoke was in and through the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What about us? What does that mean to us? All of that. All these riches. His personality. His love. Well, it comes down to the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Available in your life right now, as it has been from the moment that you gave your life to Jesus. When you came to the Lord and said, I accept you in my life as Lord and Savior, at that moment you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus promised. We knew that John the Baptist baptized with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire and power. We are to live with, in, and through the Holy Spirit. That power is available right now. And we begin by understanding the way He operates in the world. He is constantly working. His primary ministry is to bring people to Jesus. Jesus says, "No one comes to me unless the Father draws them." Well, the Father draws them through the Holy Spirit. As the Lord came to seek that which was lost, as He's seeking those who are lost but are His, it's the Holy Spirit that draws them. And somehow, in His infinite wisdom, God chose that you and I would be a participant in that miraculous work. The Holy Spirit is working in the world now, as He has been in the past, but even more, that we have the gospel, and that power is hidden within the gospel. This good news. His ministry in the world is constant as He convicts the world. Look at John 16, verse 7. And here we have this complete definition of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the world. And this gives us comfort that we're not alone as we go on as a living gospel. Our lives are living gospels for what Jesus has done in our lives and how we have been transformed. Very important that the gospel we live is an effectual one. As the Holy Spirit works in my life and changes me, I am living proof that there is a God and a person as the Holy Spirit that is working and changing me, and He can change you. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, says Jesus. As they didn't want Him to go away. Now that He finally came back and He's resurrected, stay with us. I must go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him. Notice the intricate relationship between the Trinity. It's the Holy Spirit from the Father that has been working in the Son and through the Son, but now the Son sends him to us. And here's what He will do. And when He comes, He will convict the world. He will move the hearts of those in the world. And here's what He will do. He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The world is living in darkness and sin, so the Holy Spirit is constantly both holding back the power of the evil one to a certain extent and level that He allows him to operate, but He's constantly, as a light, pointing a light on that sin. That's why people feel guilty. They're convicted of their lifestyles. Even as we, as believers, when you sin, there's that still small voice that will not leave you alone. You cannot enjoy that sin that you just stepped in because the Holy Spirit is convicting and pressuring you. That is darkness that will eventually kill. He's convicting the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then He expounds on that. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So what's the ultimate sin? What is the general sin that we commit against God? Oh yeah, we can list a whole bunch, but they're all encompassed in the fact that we do not believe God, Jesus, His Son, and that disbelief seeks for a rebellion to live as we would. So that sin of not believing Jesus. So He'll convict the world concerning sin. He'll convict the world concerning righteousness. This is a conviction for the believers that we're called to live a righteous life in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, listen, these works that I will do, you will do them and much more, for I have to go. So because Jesus is not in the world, we are that righteousness living out Jesus' gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict the world because of this righteousness, and that's why the world hates us. as they hated Jesus, for they're not of us. And then concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Here we see that the Holy Spirit is the final judge. The ruler of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Satan, has already been judged. That judgment will be carried out in God's timing at the end. But he's already been convicted. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the judgment and will carry out that sentence. And so much more, he has to convict the world because of the sin. Because God has to judge the world because of man's sin. Turn with me to Psalm 7:11. Psalm 7:11 is one that is not preached on fairly often these days. Yes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But within that love of the cross is God's righteousness and judgment, because Psalm 7:11, God is a just judge and God is angry with the wicked every day. Does God love the sinner? No, He's angry with that sin and the sinner. His holiness is out to destroy. It's His love in Christ and that blood that runs ahead of that judgment and says, let me catch that judgment. Let me take that punishment that you would not. The Holy Spirit brings that into our hearts as He's convicting the world. And this conviction is done through the gospel. That is why Scripture is most important in the way we live, in the way we know it, in the way that we say it, because God uses this gospel, which is the power unto salvation, which is our text, right? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, but hearing is through the word of Christ. That's the gospel. That's the Bible. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, the Scriptures, to convict. So when you talk to those whom you love, when you talk to those who hate you, use Scripture. Not into bashing them over the head with it, but use Scripture wisely as the Holy Spirit whispers it to you to present that Scripture, whether it's of conviction or forgiveness, but it's always the cross. Colossians 1:5 says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, this hope that we are not of this world, but that Jesus is ours, He's coming back for us. Of this you've heard before the word of the truth. The gospel. That's the word of truth. And this is what gives you hope to live today, which has come to you as indeed the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing. It also does among you. The Word of God has got fruit both in the world, in your life, in your church, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. How does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment? It's the Word of God. Why must I read it? Because the Holy Spirit needs to use it. Why must I know it? Because that's the only way I will be transformed. Why must I meditate upon it? Because that's what builds convictions. And that conviction drives through to stand without fear. This gospel is God's power to save. As we read Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is this word of the cross, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:18, to those who are perishing, it's foolishness. And we talk about casting pearls before swine, and they'll never get it, right? But we are to present it and live it and preach it. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this power, this word of God, is being used by the Holy Spirit to encourage me, strengthen me, transform me. Holy Spirit has this ministry not just to convict the world, but He has the power to regenerate. And that's where the miracle begins. We've all have gone through that moment. Maybe we didn't know its distinction and stages at the time that we were crying and weeping and repenting, but that's what the Holy Spirit was working. He was regenerating our hearts. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, it's the Holy Spirit that begins, brings salvation to save as He washes us. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, it appeared first. He seeks us first. It's the Holy Spirit that touched your heart, for we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are not seeking God. We have no desire for God. We run away from God when we're left to ourselves. We want to hear nothing about God. But God, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, through the Holy Spirit, in your rebellion, in your hatred of God and the world, the Holy Spirit began to touch you and speaking to you and drawing you. And as you heard the Word of God, as you heard a sermon or a verse or a song, the Holy Spirit began to move you and saying, this is it, this is the truth. And that regeneration began, this washing anew, which is what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 5, He saved us. The Holy Spirit saved us through this regeneration. And just to make sure you don't confuse it, it's not because of works done by us in righteousness. Not because you repented per se, because it was the Holy Spirit moving first before you repented. Because left to yourself, you could not repent because you're dead, remember? It's the Holy Spirit that saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly. Not just an RV, not a Motel 6, but the richest, most lavish, and most comprehensive hotel you can ever think of. He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, we're called to have a personal relationship with Jesus. But look how personal the Holy Spirit is involved in you. Knowing you and me right now, knowing those thoughts that we would never share with our closest friend or spouse, the Holy Spirit knows. There's no hiding. And yet He loves you. He brought this regeneration, this new life. And this regeneration brings forward the new birth. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. He says, having purified your souls. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Because He knows the ins and outs. And He does not shy away. He's not afraid, nor is He embarrassed. But He loves and embraces, and He purifies us in and out. By your obedience to the truth. There's the Word of God again. There's that gospel. It's the gospel involved as we hear it. The Holy Spirit comes in and He purifies us as we are obedient. Why? For a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you've been born again. That same term that Jesus uses when He talks to Nicodemus. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again, born from above. It is what the Holy Spirit does as He moves my heart and draws me, as He opens my eyes and I repent. There's the washing of regeneration and I am born anew. Not perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. That's what He does in the world. And yet Scripture says, if He has saved you when you did not deserve it, how much more will He save you now that you belong to Him in Romans chapter 5? Look at His power in your life and mine in the church. How we should live, how we can live, how we're empowered to live because of the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit. First of all, He's involved in your spiritual health, in your spiritual growth, not to be stagnant, not to get COVID, spiritual COVID, or be sick, but to constantly grow and have fruit, answers to prayer, a change in your character. We as believers are also convicted by the Holy Spirit. He has a good set of brakes in our lives. He knows how to stop. Sometimes He stops the donkey for us. And if even then we're stubborn, the donkey will talk to us just so we can get it. He is convicting us constantly. Listen, if you're struggling with sin and you're falling constantly, if at best, after that moment of failure, listen and be obedient to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't push Him away. Don't go back like a dog to its vomit and a pig back to his mire, as Peter says. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you, and He will convict the world, including us. As He purified us, we have to have our feet washed every once in a while, if not every day, by the Holy Spirit. As we repent, as we are sincere and confess, and we recognize our sin and our weakness. And is that recognition with a desire to be done away with? That's all the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about this months ago about the prayer that they pray that the Lord will give them a spirit of repentance. That's the Holy Spirit. How we need Him. In a way, He works like our pain sensors. Any soldier will tell you, and even every doctor will tell you, that it's good for you that when you put your hand to the flame, it burns and it hurts. Because if you didn't, you never pull your hand away. That's how we raise our kids. There's that discipline that's required. There's that discipline that the Bible encourages to our children. For if there's no discipline, there's no consequences. And they live their lives taking over cities, throwing Molotov cocktails, wanting the world to themselves, for there was no discipline. Now, the Holy Spirit is that sensor. He is that person always guiding and constantly paying attention. And then, as you grow closer to the Lord, it won't be a matter of, I touched it so I will be burned. It's going to be a matter of, just the thought will bring you to conviction. Because you're that close to the Holy Spirit. In that discipline, that loving correction. I was told when we got our little dog, little Chihuahua combination with the Italian Greyhound, we were told that they're very loving animals, and when you discipline them, you don't even have to smack them on the rump with a paper or newspaper. All you got to do is tell them no. They're so careful, and they want appreciation so much that you don't have to smack them. All you got to do is say no. The moment I say no, she stops. That relationship we have, the closer we are with the Lord, it's not a matter of the Lord laying down the law and letting us feel the weight of the staff on our back. It's just the Word, just the whisper of the Holy Spirit that convicts. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. We are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now, as Christians, what do we do? Well, Scripture says, that we are to live in the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought He lived in us. How do I live in the Holy Spirit? Now look at Galatians chapter 5, 25. If we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's the point of being aware what God wants from us through His Word. And then as we read the Word, now we see, I'm going to live the Word, so I'm going to do what the Word says. I'm going to live in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, being connected to the Spirit. I was listening to questions and answer, and R.C. Sproul was one of the people on the panel. And they received a question from the audience. The question was, Dr. Sproul, is it okay if I read my Bible and have devotions twice a week? The answer was a quick no. How could we nibble here, there, and sometimes and yet still be aware of His presence, know His Word, know what He wants from us, and have Him guide us in conjunction with the knowledge of the gospel? We live, we walk. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk in the Spirit. Because if you walk in the Spirit, knowing the Word, being gentle, being kind, memorizing Scripture, calling upon the Lord constantly, day and night. Psalm 1 says, right? The blessed is the man that does not walk, does not stand, does not sit, but he meditates upon His Word day and night. Walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, you've all heard the old, I think it's an Indian illustration about the wolves. Which wolf do you feed will be the strongest one? Do you feed the flesh with whatever things you allow to come into your life? Or do you feed the heart with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? You will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So the more I live according to my own desires, the quieter the Holy Spirit. Yes, He'll convict me, but I won't have His full power available because I'm the one that is feeding the flesh. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other. Keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's no guilt. There's no shame. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Love is how you live. Joy is what it gives you. Peace is your environment of His presence. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness for others, goodness. As you live, that is what you do and what you are. Goodness and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We are to live. How do we do that? By walking in His Word. In Him, we are to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. How do I live? How do I walk? By thinking on the things of the Spirit. What are those things? Romans 8:5. But those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. My job, my passions, my investments, my house, things of the flesh. I'm going to give all my time to those things. But if I give my mind on the Word, the people, my neighbors, my church family, I will live to be a blessing to them. And what I find out, that's the Holy Spirit working through me. If we live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And what happens in the end? Because if you set your mind on the things of the flesh is death. Plans are not going to work out. Your life will be miserable. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. It is in the Spirit and by the power of the Spirit, as I run for the fruits that He is giving in my life, I take that back, as I run for the fruit, It's not plural. It's one fruit with all those characteristics. As I run for those, I'm able to put to death my sinful desires. Verse 12 and 13 in the same chapter. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Not anymore. Now you can say no to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He comes around to say, you know, if we live by the Spirit, that's the final proof that we are the sons of God, meaning children of God, all of us, Romans 8:14. As we battle, as we commit ourselves to live, to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to have these fruits, the Holy Spirit is on our side and He is our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our attorney between us and the Father, constantly interceding for us, constantly protecting us, constantly bringing us to level sanctification before the Father. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words as He communicates with the Father on our behalf in our weakness. And He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. As He intercedes, He strengthens. Now we rely on Him, we seek Him, we know the Word, and now He does something we cannot do. He breathes strength in you. Remember when the Lord was praying, Lord, take this cup away from me. He prayed for it 3 times, and then at the end, God sent some angels, and the Lord was strengthened through the Holy Spirit. Same for us, Ephesians 3:16. That according to the riches of His glory, everything in the heaven, the throne room of God, those riches, the power that raised Him from the dead is available to you and me. May He grant you to be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in the inner being. He is the one that strengthens us as He sanctifies us. We're not alone. He sustains, He gives us the gift, He indwells us. How could we live life in the same manner that we lived it yesterday? A whole new day available for you, for me. Reach out in prayer. Submit. When He convicts, listen. When He draws, obey. And He sustains you. He is speaking on your behalf to the Father. And the more you know of His Word, the more He fills you to live according to His will. How do we know this? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, patience. The Holy Spirit is in your life. Wouldn't that give you joy? Wouldn't that give you hope? It is all in the Word. That's why Jesus says, you must eat My flesh and drink My blood. He was talking about the Scriptures in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a song that we know that touches the heart and prepares us to long for. You know the song, right? There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know that I feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Holy Spirit, we know the command that we are to be filled with your presence, and we desire it, and we submit to it. We drink deep of these rivers of waters of life. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Let us go home today. And those that must ask for forgiveness, empower them to do so. Those that must give forgiveness, let them forgive. Those that must repent, relinquish, and renounce sin, let them do so with the joy of being set free. Those that must pick up the phone and make that phone call, Holy Spirit, empower their hands and fingers and lips to speak out love. For when we are obedient and submissive to you, Holy Spirit, you will perform the work of the Father more than we can ask or think. Amen.